Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... And you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. And I know why you're here, because Joel Barker is here. You heard Joel Barker is going to be here. I know you're lining up around the corner. Well, don't worry. Don't rush. Don't push. There's room for everybody. Everybody's going to get a seat. Just take it easy. I know you can't wait to get in to see Joel Barker. Joel is the author of the acclaimed and watershed work Future Edge, which I first knew in its paperback edition, which is called Paradigms, and the video, The Business of Paradigms, which basically that book, along with Megatrends, are two books that did more to change the way I think about the world than anything else I've ever read. And his new book is called Five Regions of the Future. He is a futurist and now a filmmaker as well, as he has been for a while. And I'm so happy to say, I'm so honored to say, he's a member of our Brain Trust. Joel Barker, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
And doing great. It's good to have you back.
Good. By the way, a little history. I was making the film, the first Paradigm film, in 1984,
yeah,
as I was completing my book. So I was literally an author, filmmaker, simultaneously.
How about
so
that?
I've always been, they've gone hand in hand, and they really, you know, one feeds the other in terms of what you're doing. So it's a nice
That's
pattern.
Fascinating, and the filmmaking thing. I mean, I don't want to compare my authorship to your authorship, but I have birthed a couple of books, but I have not made a film, and so I am jealous of that. I do envy you for that. But and of course, having seen the Business of Paradigms film, the video, which, folks, if you ever get a chance, you know, whatever you do, you need to check it out. Is that still available out there?
Oh, goodness, yeah, it's still a bestseller. In fact, if they go to www.starthrower.com, they can watch it. We now have it available. You can watch the whole thing on the Internet.
Oh, wow.
They can watch all my videos right on the Internet if they don't want to watch it.
I didn't know that. I'm so glad to hear that. I'll start sending a lot of people there.
Please. That's
good. Yeah, absolutely. That's outstanding. Well, that's good. I'm glad that's up. Isn't the internet an amazing venue, amazing vehicle, amazing tool for the 21st century?
Well, when you think about now, just the way the internet is opening up, and one of the things I've got on my list today to talk about is a new Philips invention, which is a flexible screen. It's going to make it even more accessible.
How's that going to work?
Well, Philips has been working on this for years, literally, because they have said...
Are they the Magnavox people?
Yeah. They're actually the Netherlands, the Dutch. You know, they're huge. But they've always been leading edge in terms of technology design.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been working on a flexible screen. And they're bringing out this thing called Readius, R-E-A-D-I-U-S. And if you Google that, you'll get all the information on it. And it's a screen that folds up so that when you're carrying it in your pocket, it's the size of a cell phone. But when you unfold it, it's twice the size. So you have double the screen.
Wow.
And they're actually looking for an 8-inch screen in the next couple of years. And the reason for me that that's important, number one, it gives you a lot more information in front of you. But I think it's going to save the bacon of the newspapers around the world. Because we know the newspapers are having a problem with paper costs.
Yeah, the paper print newsprint cost is what's killing them. That and Craigslist is killing them.
Yeah, that's right. But what if the newspapers could say, here, we'll give you a choice. You know, we'll deliver the paper, but you've got to pay for it now, because the paper's price is going to go up. Or we will send the whole newspaper to your cell phone with a fold-out screen every night, so that you have the latest stuff, but you're providing the surface area instead of us.
All right. So what would be the difference in that and just getting it online on my monitor?
Because you can pick it up and take it out of your pocket and read it wherever you
want. Oh, I see what you
Set
mean.
Set it down at the breakfast table and read it.
And it's a lot better. If on the go, it's a lot better than, and like if I were in an airplane especially.
Exactly. So yeah. Once you have that, now you carry your books on it, you carry your newspaper, but what it does is it takes away the paper cost, and by the way, all the environmental costs that go along with that.
Yep. Well, and you know what? You know how it would help. You know how it would help me, don't you, Joe? I'm allergic to newsprint.
No kidding.
I read newspapers voraciously, but I'm allergic to newsprint.
Interesting. I'd never even thought about it. So that's a whole category of people right there.
Yeah. The residue, the ink, and everything that comes off of the newspaper. And a publisher once told me how I could fix it. He said heat an oven to like 450, and put your newspaper in there for like 10 minutes. And it'll cook all that stuff out. I said, what do I want with a 450-degree newspaper? Thanks a lot. Stand by. Quick break. 20 till. I'm Jim Blessingame. We all got more fascinating stuff to come from our good friend Joel Barker right after these messages. Here is Fleetwood Mac to take us out. Pretty sure this is the Strawberry Alarm Clock, as I remember. That's from the Wayback Machine. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joel Barker is our guest and our good friend and the author of many books, including his new book, Five Regions of the Future. And folks, whatever you find, wherever you can find Joel Barker, anything he's said or done or produced, you just got to know about it, because it will make you a smarter citizen and a more successful participant of the 21st century. Joel, we're talking about, by the way, folks, that's Reedus, R-E-A-D, like as in Reed, I-U-S, Reedus. If you'll Google that, you'll see this screen that Joel's talking about, and I think you're right, Joel. I think that could be the difference, because, you know, they've got these little devices that are the book readers and all that.
Yep.
They're too small.
Yep.
I'm not gonna read that. I don't enjoy reading things like that.
Yeah, and the nice thing about the folding thing is it's small until you want to use it.
Yeah.
And then it gets to be the size that works, and that's just brilliant. You know, congratulations, Philips.
Absolutely. What are some of the other things that you're seeing out there?
Well, there are two things that I've been kind of really pleased by. One is the research done by Shell on taking shale oil, and the other is some research being done at the University of Nebraska on switchgrass.
All right, let's take the shale first.
Yeah. Everybody's heard, I think, about shale oil. It's the rock that's out in the West. We've got huge deposits in Colorado and Wyoming and Utah, but nobody's been able to take out the oil from the shale until Shell Oil has just announced that they now have patented processes for doing this.
A lot of people don't realize, Joel, they think that oil is just down there in some subterranean well. It's just down there like water, and we just drop a pipe down in there and suck it out of this big hole in the ground in the earth. But the truth is, most of it is coming out of sand.
Yeah.
It's being pulled from sand. You've heard of that. You've heard that, folks. That the tar sands and the oil sands and all that. Most of that's being pulled from a mixture. But as you say, it's also in the shale. It's actually the shale has absorbed this stuff, hasn't it?
Well, it's a precursor of oil that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And what you need to do is you need to process. But listen to these numbers: 17,000 square miles, 800 billion barrels of recoverable oil have been waiting. That's three times what Saudi Arabia has.
Now, what? Slow down.
Yep.
You're telling us that in the Western United States,
yep,
in shale, there is three times the inventory of oil that Saudi Arabia has.
Exactly. Now listen to this number. At $30 a barrel, Shell can recover it at $30 a barrel. So that means if it gets $50 a barrel, they're making $20 a barrel on this. So these are huge numbers, and what they've done is they've cracked the code how to do it so it's in situ, which means they don't have to tear up the ground or anything.
It's within, in situ, within itself, right.
Exactly. And the way they do it, it produces natural gas before it produces the oil, and they use the natural gas to power the system. So it's self-powering.
Holy mackerel.
Isn't that cool? Now, the last piece, and this is the...
Slow down for a second.
Yep.
this is fascinating. Who owns the mineral rights to this land?
The federal government. You and I. The American people do.
Yeah.
So
what do we
got
to do?
$5 a barrel.
What? How many greenies do we have to medicate to get this out of the ground?
Well, number one, it's the one question will be water issues. And with the money that's being made, my guess is that can be handled well.
What do you mean water issues? Because it's going to contaminate the water?
It uses water.
Oh.
So you're going to have water issues.
And they've got a finite amount of water out there.
Well, and actually Shell has senior rights on the water, so they have that. But they said they do not want to irritate the environmentalists, and I don't think they want. You know, that's a dumb thing to do. But here's the point. Because it's in situ, because you're not really grossly disturbing the environment, the cost to kind of settle things down afterwards is low.
Yeah.
And what I like about it is, listen to this number. 1 acre of this stuff can produce 1 million barrels.
Wow.
17,000 square miles. There are 640 acres in a square mile. 17,000 square miles. They basically think we can get between 3 and 5 million barrels a day for 100 years.
Wow.
So when are we going to
tell Saudi Arabia to go fly a kite? And Venezuela. I really want to sell Venezuela to go fly a kite.
We got a little work to do because we bring in about 22 million barrels a day.
Yep.
So it doesn't cover that all. But if we start doing the things we should be doing with substitution, what this is the anchoring base that says as we make the transition to non-petrochemical fuels, we now can at least count on our own technology in our own land, which keeps the dollar.
And why isn't some candidate, not one single candidate that's running today, is talking about any of this?
I haven't heard anybody on either side.
I don't understand it.
Intelligent discussion, other than to say, I will underwrite alternative fuels. Okay,
we'll have an energy policy or whatever.
Yeah,
you know what it tells me? I don't think they know what they're. I don't even think they understand the issue.
Well, I don't even think they're aware, to be honest with you.
This makes me mad.
Yeah. Well, this is one of the reasons you've got to think about the future. Is the alternatives make a huge difference in the way the world unfolds?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, folks, immigration is important to both sides. Abortion is and right to life is important to both sides. But there are other things out there that are important too. We need to be a little more broad in our perspectives. Stand by, Tintail. We're going to be right back with Joel Barker. More exciting stuff to come from Joel Barker. Stay with us. There's Chicago bringing us back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you can find the show and the archives and the articles and the Brain Trust members, and just subscribe to my free newsletter. Check our blog out, which we update every weekday. And the newsletter, by the way, comes on Sunday afternoon by email, gets you ready for the week ahead. And of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you can get small business answers now. I hope you use all those to your advantage because we make them available to you for free. Joel Barker is our guest and our good friend. Joel, now, you're still working on your website, right?
Yeah, it's just about done.
Okay, we're waiting with bated breath for it to be finished.
Me too.
but the other one, the one you gave us, you told us to go to before for the videos. What was that again?
www.starthrower.com. That's one word. .com.
Star Thrower.
That's my film distribution company.
Right, and that's the one. You know, folks, you've heard me talk about the Star Thrower story many, many times. That's Joel Barker, the guy who coined that story. Okay, Joel, let's talk about. You want to talk about the Whole Foods thing?
Yeah. The other thing that I I always watch for trends, little indicators. And Whole Foods said they're going to get rid of plastic bags. Okay, that's an early indicator that could start a trend. And that's important to look at because I think all of us have seen these bags floating around in the, you know, across our yards and down
right.
in the parks. And I saw a picture in Africa where every single bush had a plastic bag stuck
yeah.
to it, just
yeah.
to give you a sense of how bad it is.
Well, I'll tell you what, I hate to say it. I use the plastic bags from the grocery store because they are handy. But I will have to say that whenever I think about all the plastic that's going into landfills,
yep.
and I know that it's got a half-life of, you know, of 5 millennia,
yeah.
and it bothers me. It does bother me. What is this? What, you know, what are we putting in the ground?
Yep. And if you
and I'm not
it,
and I'm not a greenie.
No, but you don't have to be because that's just common sense.
Yeah.
You know, that's energy, actually. If we could recollect all those bags, you could,
yeah.
they're very high energy content. So,
mm-hmm.
But if nothing else, remelt them. What we're seeing, I think, is the movement of, and it's a broad movement. It doesn't matter whether you're
yep.
Republican or Democrat.
That's right.
People saying, we are stewards of the planet, and it's stupid not to take care of something that is so valuable.
And isn't it better, Joel, to build a movement like this from the bottom up, from the grassroots, just from a common sense standpoint,
yep.
isn't it better to do it like this and put it into the, let the marketplace influence this rather than have politicians control it and try to control it by government fiat?
Up to one point, and this is what I always, you know, when we have these discussions, this is the point I make. If, in fact, somebody not doing it can gain a big advantage over somebody who is doing the right thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you got to regulate.
But
because
see,
that one person ends up taking advantage. It's called taking. You know, it's the commons.
Yeah.
Misuse of the commons. But if I would much rather us all say, because you're right, a movement is powerful.
But see, this movement, the beauty of this movement is it has yep. the moral advantage.
Yes.
See, the
yeah.
other thing that would take advantage of this would not have the moral advantage. And that's the reason I think the 21st century, with these younger generations coming along, the moral advantage will win.
Again, in many places, that's the best way to do it. But, for instance, if you were told that you could choose to pay your taxes or not, and there was a moral advantage about paying the taxes, my guess
right.
is there's still a fair number of people who
right.
would choose not to do it.
Quickly,
so, you know, part of living together is to know when we all have to pull together
right.
and when we all get to choose what we want to pull.
Quickly, one more quick one.
Yep.
The clay that kills bacteria.
Yeah.
Quickly,
there
I got one
has,
minute.
Yep. There's a discovery in which we have found that a certain clay has the capacity to kill all sorts of bacteria and perhaps even viruses.
You
and
know that primitive people and animals have known this for eons, right?
You got it. That's exactly how it got started. Is anecdotally, they saw animals eating these things, and then people were doing it. They said, why would they be doing that? Turns out it kills the bacteria and the viruses.
I have seen livestock eat dirt.
There
and they
go.
Weren't licking it. Now you might say, "Well, they were licking it for the salt." No, I've seen them eat it, and they weren't licking it for salt. They were
yeah.
getting something out of it. And of course, we've seen primitive people. And so is this going to be part of the new medicine?
Absolutely. And
yeah.
I'll send you a website on it too. Science News had the article. But you know, we were just talking common sense. Look what you
yeah.
said. I saw animals eating dirt. I wonder
exactly.
why.
Yeah.
Scientists said, boy, aren't they stupid.
I think you probably got to take it with milk, though. It's probably, you need a little milk to go down. Hey, Joel, thanks for being here. It's always a pleasure. Good job today.
Thank you. It was fun.
We'll see you next time. Joel Barker, ladies and gentlemen. How about that? Joel Barker on the Small Business Advocate Show. Doesn't get any better than that. Quick break. No, actually, I got to go for this hour. We're over for the hour. I don't want to leave. I'm having so much fun. I'm Jim Blasingame. You know I love you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.